And the large audience of the internet. We always start with 255, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. And I'm excited because we start in the good part of Revelation where we're going to see the kingdom that God will establish for us forever, all right? Number 255 in our hymn books, please. Evening service and prayer, because we do have a high priest interceding for us at the right hand of our Father. And so, Lord, encouraged by this, we are saying, bless us as we praise your name and as we look into the scriptures and see the glorious future for every believer from any nation, from any race. Lord, how blessed we are that we have a future as you're going to present to us in Revelation 21 and 22. So, Lord, excited by the scripture, encouraged by praising God and a Savior who never changed, bless us as we study together. In Jesus we pray, amen. All right, the last stanza, 255, all right? Perfect vision. Morning, and now we are at the end of the day praising the Savior all the day long. Now you choose a song, and it's good to see the young people that very soon some of them, a majority of them, will leave for their, in 1 month, leave for their college, and we will miss them. And some of them are rascals and still have vacations in Europe to come. All right. I don't know if I want to pray for them or not. You know, I say, all right, Lara is busy. Okay. Yes, Señor Andrew. 455. I want you to know that Andrew is going to be baptized, God's willing. I have a nice meeting with him, and is going to be baptized. Where is the Lord, Andrew? All right. On the last Sunday of this month, we're going to have baptism again. Brianna, I think, is the name of the Mills daughter that asked me this morning to be baptized. And Joe Bedodo, our old Joe Bedodo. I thought he was baptized. And, you know, the Iranian fellow, is Iran or Iraq? Iranian. No, Chaldean, he said, Chaldean. He's from the Chaldean family on the north of Iran, on the border with Russia, evangelized in Europe by the Presbyterian Church. And he has been with us for so long, more than 15 years, and I never realized that he was not baptized until somebody told me, Mrs. Pereira. Terry Pereira said this morning, you know, this rascal never has been baptized. So I went and I grabbed it by the neck and said, you only baptized next. And so it's good. I know the three people to be baptized, and hopefully the water will be warm. All right. Okay. So praise the Lord for the encouragement of these people. In the meantime, we're going to sing a song, and I want you to know that also my good friend Andrew will take the place of our brother Jerry Malone. So he's going to, before the church start, he's going to go through the Sunday school people sitting here. They had no bulletin, and pass the bulletin, and then he's going to go in the kitchen and wait for the people who are in the kitchen and pass the bulletin to the people. They're not, have no bulletin in the kitchen. So he's going to assist me in that way. All right. And the guy is very good. All right. In my heart, there rings a melody. Solved the problem with his car they had this morning. Biggest spike getting to his wheels, and he lost the tire, but I'm glad you're in one piece. Was it front tire or back tire? A rear tire. Okay. All right. Yes. 132. Proper for tonight. Jesus is coming. All right. 132. All right. Davis is here, and I'm glad the police don't take Chris, and so he make his way. All right. 132.
Thank you.
Daniel. Okay, and we're going to miss you and your family as tomorrow morning they bring the noise back to Oregon, okay? All right. We're going to feel there's nothing in the house, I tell you. They took off for Modesto for a few days, and I thought that was, where is the noise? And where is the, amazing. But 1 month has passed. And they are here, and I'm so glad to have Jacqueline. I don't know if next year will be the same, but at least I made all my efforts when they were little to go over there and to have them so they are part of the family. We can be living 700 miles apart, but we are one family. And I want them to know that that's lost in America today, part of Satan's plan, all right? My children are raised by somebody else rather than by the mother. And they work, and so what a damage has been done. 197, hallelujah. And what's the next word? None. Nothing more to do, all right? Good. Señora. 498. All right. We're going to miss Miriam too, and Danny will get everything back. 498. All right. And the noise go back to Oregon. All right. 498. When we all get to heaven. All right. That's about the sermon tonight on our heavenly city, our heavenly kingdom, the new life. And the Reverend President Bush father was, I was worried about him because he always at the end, the last year of his presidency, he said the new world order. So we're going to talk tonight. My sermon is the new world order, if you see that. And now this is the good one. This is no one, the people dream. This is the way God has established for the new kingdom. Okay. 498. 498.
Yeah.
Okay, there are three selections, all right? We start with Tricia. 298. The party on the beach has been canceled. They're just the last report in the news, I said. 298. God lead us alone. 298. Have a sparkle of time to look on the internet because people write email to Pastor Bethel. One email that I read said, you are too narrow. It's only one way. Jesus died, he rose again, and there is no room for others. Well, he got the sermon, all right? He got the sermon. All right. And number two, he got the sermon. All right, number two. Tomorrow she's leaving for France, this poor girl, and is going to have a 10 days vacation, Paris and some place else, and she's going to suffer for a while and be back, all right? Boy, oh boy, when you are young and you have good daddies. All right, 187. Okay, Maria? 204. 204, yes, indeed. All right, put your eyes on Jesus, I think it is. Thank you. just want you to know that our brother Jack and his wife Mary will do a 3 weeks vacation. Now, I thought they came from vacation, and they go on vacation again. This rascal got a new Lexus, and he wants to try the Lexus is good in every state, all right? So he goes to see our family, Dulilo family. So we send our greetings to them, Brother Jack, and they're going to stay with the Dulilos who live here. And then from there, I think in Washington and even Montana, is that right? All right, okay, and may God cover you with his grace as you drive. And Mary, drive and enjoy yourself. Have been with us the 24 years of our church, and just so blessed. I'm a blessed man to have an elder that look up like that and stay with you. It's just a remarkable pleasure. All right, one more hymn. Yes, 157. I just want you to know that we did a wedding. And it was so good, Bernie's son, Benjamin, and it was just a joy to see young people start life all over again. And a lady who was, I think it's semi-paralyzed, is that right? So she cannot have the strength as she walked. But boy, she made it by the hand of the daddy and a friend walking in the lawn and so on. And this is my first time, 48 wedding. My first time at this wedding, the bride came in a golf car all the way to the edge and then walk on the golf turf to the center by daddy and a friend. It was so good to see the love of God into that. Well, it was a great week, and we have a great morning this morning. The music was superb. Darlene, thank you. Everything coordinated. Thank you, Jacqueline. You did very good. The song was really appropriate, and my heart was almost, I had to hold it because it was going on. It's just so emotionally. I know I'm getting older because I get too much emotions. All right? Okay. One of the keys of a goalie when you play is you have no emotions. Because you get emotions, you're going to miss it. So you just cross your hand like this. You're on a penalty kick. You cross your hand. It looks like you're a dummy looking like that. So fortunately, the guy who wanted to shoot, he think, oh, he's a stupid guy. And he just touched the ball, and then you got it. Okay? 157. Is that right? To sing tonight. I love that. was traditional in my hometown in Argentina to sing for 40 minutes before the evening service, and I think enhance our life. We are at in the final steps of Revelation, hopefully one more month, a month and a half, and we wrap up the book, and then I have all the notes, and I'm going to print an outline on the book entitled The Revelation of Jesus Christ, and you will have it free, chapter by chapter with the entire outline, because that's what it is. I want you to look in Revelation chapter 1, and so there are more people divided by the book of Revelation than united in the Protestant church. They're all fighting about the old preachers. I was collecting and putting together a set of more than 100 books with Danielle that our sister Rebecca gave to the church from her father, Dr. Green. And it was impressive to see people in the 1700s and so on, what they say about Revelation. There is a book about 250 pages on the words that I preached this morning, Christ our Passover. 250 pages without computer, without concordance. They made it at that time. So the man has discussed the details of almost every comma in the text. What a glorious things we lost in preaching. Now, chapter 1 of Revelation, verse 1 said, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So every chapter of this book is a revelation. And just, I can glance to you, chapter 1 is a revelation of Christ. When you want to really tell people about Christ, just read them Revelation chapter 1. Remember, he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's everything. He's the one who holds the keys of life and so on. When you want to show the people the church, you read Revelation 2. And Revelation 3, when you want to show the people what God is doing, Revelation 4. When you want to show the people the power of God, Revelation 5. You remember that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father and so on. So I'm going to have the complete outline for you, and will be printed soon, and you will have a little booklet with the outline and details and counter verses and so on, so that you will see the joy that is to have a book like the book of Revelation, where God has revealed everything to us. Now we are in Revelation chapter 21, and as I said at the beginning of our singing together, Revelation 21 to me is the revelation of a new world order. Or at the word world, I would take the Greek word cosmos, means the whole universe, people and things together. So we go verse by verse, 8 verses. I hope to have the time, and I do, because we are not bound by the radio, so our internet is our internet. We pay nobody, by the mercy of God, that the Lord provide an engineer to give us all the connections, and we own our own internet, so it is good. Now let's start. Verse 1, it is a new world. I read verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I explain that in a minute, what that could mean. Now, here it is. The Bible used the word new twice. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. To understand the power of that Greek word, I will ask you to turn your Bible on the left to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, and verse 13. What the apostles were looking for, they had received the revelation of God. As you read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, you are fully convinced that Paul believes in the new heaven and the new earth. As you read 2nd Peter, you are convinced that he has received a revelation of the things to come. And look at what chapter 3, verse 13 said. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth. All right? wherein dwelleth righteousness. So we are seeing the Revelation 1 is talking about a new heaven and a new earth. Now, heaven, the solar system, and earth is part of it. And when everything is new, so everything is new. So no more violent thunderstorms. The people in Florida can be really at peace. A new heaven and a new earth. No more stars or solar system. They are burned out. Now science has discovered through the telescope that there are more than 20 solar systems in the universe, and they burn out and they go away. All right? No more earth destructions or earth disasters that we listen through the news. No more thorns and thistles. And if you like to work in the yard, now Miriam like it, my wife like it, and I'm the slave to plant and to do this. I have planted more than 16 little trees and bushes, and take this plant away, put it over there, and so on. And I tell you, I'm an old fellow. The back, I'm trying to say the back hurt me. No, it's all right. Do it. Okay. If you know, you wake up in the morning after the irrigation, and here is the new little thing. I never thought the oak will reproduce so fast. I took about 20 oaks away, tiny like this, because if they are 1 foot, it's illegal to cut it. So I go with the binoculars in the yard. Where are they? Because they really come up. And all kinds of little thistles. And, oh, I tell you, if you want to keep your yard that my wife can walk with the high heels, you have to be, I tell you, it's just amazing. So no more of that, and thank God. No more disease. And this is another one. No more decay. Or what we in construction who build bridges and so on are really aware of, erosion, the combustion of water with oxygen on metal. No more erosion. No more metals will be dissolved by that. One time in my life, I was working as an engineer in San Francisco, live in Alameda, and so I had to cross the bridge all the time. And the people paint the bridge, and when they finish, it took a year, then they have to paint the bridge again. Otherwise, the erosion of the salt of the water will diminish the thickness of the bridge, and the bridge will weaken their ability to support. Okay, no more of that. No more devastation or destruction by sea. Now, there was no more sea. In the context of the text, can be understood in this way. No sea as you know it today. Because, see, there is a new heaven, there is a new earth, and there has to be a new sea. But there is not going to be a sea as you see it today. 3/4 of the earth is covered and balanced by the sea. Only 1/4 is on ground. And so no more that kind of a structure. No more the balancing of waters over the earth. No more that kind of a physical composition. That's the way I understand it. So I will tell you this. I read the text. I have some understanding. But my statement will be, it is beyond our comprehension. Will you turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. Matthew 24 and verse 35. It is beyond our comprehension. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So don't hold to, or don't put hours and try to understand the physiology or the physiognomy of the new earth, trying to put your hours on the word of God, because that will not pass away. The word of God, as we know it today, is good in heaven. And there you can really look back and said all the prophecies were fulfilled, because the word of God is true. So it's beyond our comprehension. There is not a person with a human mind that can understand the architect of God building the new heavens and the new earth under a different distribution of weight balance. Impossible to understand, but that's the way it's going to be. So it is a new heaven. It's not a patching. It's not a repair. It's not a reform heaven. It is a new cosmos. Now, the revelation of a new world order not only is a new world, but also it is a new world's capital. Look at in verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, or New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned to her husband. All right? There are a few things that you learn here. Number one is that it has been prepared by God. Verse 2 says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God. So it is designed by God. All right? It will be the center of God's government. Look at in verse 23 to 27. Same chapter, verse 23 to 27. And the city, talking about this capital, had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. We had no idea of that concept, all right? Remember, in John 1, Jesus is the light. In John 4, 12, John 8 and 12, Jesus is the light of the world. God at the beginning created the light. And we had no idea of that. Verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, in the light of God, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and an honor. The new earth, the people will worship God. Why different than today, all right? You go in the United Nations and there is no prayer. Or if it's a prayer, it cannot be closed in the name of Jesus. All right, verse 25. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, or there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nation into it. We're going to learn later on that the new heavens do not have the same watch that you have, a 24 hours watch, 12 hours day, 12 hours night. They will be all 24 hours or whatever hour is day. An entire different. All right? So it is a new world capital where God is going to center and talk from there. Today, the world capital is Washington, D.C. I listened to Alif al-Baha station in Arab, and they said, we do not like Washington, because if Washington will tell Israel to stop, Israel will stop. And so they know, the Arabs know that the Americans are against the Arabs, because Washington will not stop the bombs into Lebanon from Israel. But they address Washington as the most powerful capital that they can talk to. When the Arab world refer to leaders in the government, they all use the word Washington. They say, it is Washington. If Washington will tell Europe what to do, Europe will have to do it. And so here is Jerusalem, whatever that Jerusalem will be. And that will be the center, the motor of all the engineering of the entire world. God is going to build it and put it together. Now, verse 3. It is a world in fellowship with God. Now, I want to repeat it because you can't believe it. It is a world in fellowship with God. Verse 3 in Revelation chapter 21. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. That word tabernacle is a word tent, building. The building of God, the presence of God, you can say, is with men. Now remember on the first building that God made, you remember which was back in Exodus? Was a tent. And God is spoken inside there. So the presence of God talking about. So I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. That doesn't say many, doesn't say some, all of them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Wow. I will go to the coffee shop in heaven, and everybody will have a Bible talking about it. And the donors will even be Christian. Isn't that amazing? It is amazing. They will be immediate fellowship with God. Look at verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Immediate. Now that changed the rules. Today, mankind doesn't have an immediate fellowship with God. You need to have what in order to have fellowship with God? You need to have an intercessor. Today, if you want to have fellowship with God, you need to be saved and trust the only bridge that God has made. Remember 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus. When you have him, then you have. But there, according to verse 3, it is immediate. Because all the people that are there in heaven, they are what? Saved. They're saved. All right. They meet their fellowship with God. Then there will be common dwelling place. Said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. It's not that God's going to be in a special place like the Roman Catholic Church makes of the Pope, you know, hiding in a richest place. No, God dwell with them. One of the things we learned when I was in seminary that has helped our seminary was one of the few, at that time only had 13 students, but very rigid, German seminary. My wife also had to go for the lectures on the ladies of the pastors they were teaching. So the ladies will teach the ladies to be pastor's wife. And one of the things we learn is, first of all, giving. You have to turn every Monday your checkbook into the seminary so they check how much you give to the Lord and how much you spend for yourself. Secondly, where do you live? So you have to live among the people. You cannot live in a top-notch house, even if you have the money, or drive a top-notch car if you have the money. You can. You have to be with the people. And you know, every year was a lecture on that. And drills, when I started this church, one of the persons who started was Brother Holcomb, now with the Lord, his wife, and his children, and they were across where I live. And when he called me in Friedman and said, we find a place for you, I came in and I said, no, I cannot live here. That looks too luxurious on the country club, looking the lake and so on. And it was as an officer of the Navy selling his home. And I said, no, I have to live with the people. He said, I'm people? Yeah, I live across the street. And then Brother Sherwood, I don't know if you remember Brother Sherwood, now with the Lord also. He also started the church, was a half block away. He said, we live here. It's okay for you to live here, but I want the people to know. You have to have that respect, that kind of unity. See, because God is going to be with his people. He's not going to be in a cloud over there with all the servants and the luxury and the Swedish army. He's going to be with the people. Look at again. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. He will dwell with them. That's very important to know. All right? How wonderful it will be. And the reason why God can dwell with you, remember when Moses went to see God? He cannot look to God. He will be dead. He only saw the shadow. And the reason is now we are saved. Now we have a new body. Now we can see God. All right? So there will be a common place, no special place. And there will be no other people than God's people, according to verse 3. And he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them. And be their God. There will be no other people except God's people. So, if you are looking for a city where all are Christians and you are looking on this earth, you can keep looking. You never find it. Now, America started by that, by bringing the best people from England and Ireland to worship God, and very soon things is disturbed. Today, America is the worst country in the world to serve the Lord, because it's just words that comes out, but no heart on it. So there will be only one God, and people say, well, you cannot preach and teach only Jesus Christ, and a good Jewish member of the family, Camille, I have lunch with her today, and she said, that Jesus disturbed me. I said, it's going to disturb more if I tell you how it's going to burn you, your body in hell. I told her as we were eating lunch. And she said, stop it. He said, I want to tell you good news. So, okay, tell me. Say, I'm getting to know the Bible. What do you mean? Say, I don't need the numbers anymore. Now I look in the books. And I told the Jewish people, and the worst part is, she goes to the synagogue in Gilroy. Says, I learned more about Israel in that church than you all the years I spent here together. And you know what the Jew asked her? He said, how much money do you have to put? You see how people had the wrong direction? How much is that? Then nobody asked me. In a Baptist church, they're asking for money? No. And she pray for her, because she is really, it takes a lot for a Jew to recognize that the Messiah is the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, it takes a lot for all of us. Unless God give us light, we never see it. But it's very, very, very good. And happened that I had to take lunch with her and Jacqueline Box today. She said, come here, Pastor, come here. She's my neighbor, you know. And so it just one. There is only one God. One God. And I said to her, you know the word Jehovah very well. Yeah, I said, but those people never mention, because some people can be offended. And I said, well, they will be offended. That's correct. Some people will be offended if we say Jesus Christ, but that's the only way they're going to react to it. And they go, and if they go to the Bible, there is no two, three names of God. There's only one, Jehovah. And so in heaven, we don't have that problem. In heaven, we have one God, we have one place, and I can have coffee with God anytime I want to. All right? Now, verse 4. This is something you're looking for, young people. It is a perfect world. The only thing is, in heaven there will be no one thing. In heaven there will be young people, in heaven there will be no... Wow, in heaven there will be no Starbucks. What do we do without Shelley? Does she have her car, you know? Pardon me? No, there will be no marriage. Marriage. So young people, marry now, because there will be no marriage in heaven. Okay? All right. Now, let's take verse 4. Okay? It is a perfect world. The negative experience of life will be gone. Look at verse 4. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. You know, if you live in this world, you will experience sorrow. Right? You have to say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Even in the perfect condition of your life, you will have sorrow. It's gone. God wipe away that. The body will be perfected. Look at the verse. And there shall be no more death. See, you die not because of sickness. You die because of the failure of sin. Remember Romans 6:23? The wages, payoff of sin is death. I keep saying to the doctors, when we meet on Friday, we meet the doctors, say, you know, where's sickness come from? Oh, this and the other. No, sickness come from within. Come from within. All right? So there will be, according to verse 4, there will be a body will be perfect. There will never be a regret of failure. Have you had those regrets in your life? You don't have to say it, but you know, when you said, boy, why I did this. All right. Now, look at here in verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall be there any more pain, for the former things are gone, pass away. Really pass away. Really pass away. Nobody, neither you, will remember what was your past. A fresh start. Can you imagine that? A new machine in your head. Completely new. Not rebuilded. Not reformed like psychologists do. A complete new machine where you have no history. Remember the computers you can have in a program? They say history. You can have 2-day history, 3-day history, or no history. Well, that's what is a zero on the button of history. Your machine will have no history. Only you will see God and praise Him. Praise God for that. A perfect world. Now, it is a new world. Look at verse 5. God will make it, verse 5. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. God said, I make all things new. Now, how this world started, you need to go to Genesis 1:1. Don't go over there, you know, by memory. Okay, Bereshit bara Elohim. Bereshit in the beginning, bara, he created. No, he made it, but he created Elohim. Now, he created, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 3, said that he created from nothing. Nothing that was made, so he created. He created wood. He created the steel. He created everything. And so that's the new world is coming. And God guaranteed this new world, according to verse 5, and he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. In other words, this is not a dream, John. You are not dreaming. This is true. And God said, sign it. God, faithful. I want you to remember, when you want to have somebody to listen to somebody pray, go to 1 Kings chapter 8. Solomon prayed after the wonders of the palace was made. Let's go for a minute to 1 Kings in the Old Testament in chapter 8 in verse 56. This is his glorious prayer. He even prayed over there about the mystical situation of heavens and how the heavens of heavens of heavens. He laid three layers of heavens, and if you study, he used a singular for one, a plural for two, and you can distinguish the the understanding of God's composition. But look at now in 8:58. He prayed that God may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, which he commanded our father. Now, that's verse 58. Now look, the one I want is verse 56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people, Israel, according to all that he promised. They have not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. Now, when the temple was made, the crown of Jerusalem took place on this earth. And Solomon well said, now what God promised is done. Now, you go back to Revelation 21, then you see that in verse 5, at the end of verse 5, said, write, for these words are true and faithful. If God was true and faithful, under the empire of Israel on this earth, God, we who are the spiritual Israel, we are no Israel, national Israel, we are the spiritual Israel, remember, according to Galatians 3, 26 to 29. So God is going to be faithful to us, and this heaven is going to take place. It is not a dream, it is a guarantee. God said, write down and use my signature, it is done. Now, finally, number 6, it is a new wall with new believers on it. The citizens of the new world must apply for citizenship. Look at verse 6. And he said unto me, I'm Revelation chapter 21, verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of a fountain of water of life freely. See, you have to be athirst in order to get to this world. You need to have the thirst of knowing God. You need to have the thirst of saying, where is this God? What the God has done. It's not that just God is going to balance you into heaven. There has to be a spiritual desire. Young people, the greatest thing for your life is a spiritual desire to know God more. This is what it is. So the citizens of heaven are not just bouncing to heaven. They have a desire. When I apply for American citizenship, took about a year of paperwork and $20,000 in doctors and this and the other. We had to go to the embassy and pay American doctors to check our body and so on. And there was an application. And it was an interview. And there were questions and so on. And so in heaven, there is an application. You need to read the scripture. That's where the application is. You need to read the scripture. And in the scripture, you will be commanded to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal savior. And if you believe it, then you will come into the citizenship. If you're not, then you are rejecting the application. So the citizens of the new world must apply. Secondly, going to Revelation, the citizens of the new world will be believers. Verse 7 in Revelation 21. He that overcometh shall inherit all the things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. In other words, they need to overcome. You need to overcome, you know who? You. You need to overcome you. When I tell people about God, oh no, don't tell me that. The church did this, the church did that. And even the Arabs now argue and say, well, the church had no power because the church in the year 400 did this, in the year 1100 did this, and so on. You need to overcome you and overcome all what you know and just trust the Bible. The overcomers are called in the scripture. Let me go to Romans chapter 8 as I counsel here in my notes. Romans chapter 8, and let me use verse 14 and verse 15. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 and verse 15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. See, this business of being in the house of God and being in the presence of God is not an automatic thing. If your fathers were believers, you are believers. If you are a member of a church, you automatically be in heaven. There had to be an individual, conscience, belief in God. And finally, it is a new world with new believers. According to verse 8, the citizens of the new world are free from illegal immigration. Now you know now illegal immigration are people who jump the border without papers. In other words, they come to this country and they claim to have rights. You have no rights when you commit an illegal act, okay? Now look at verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and homeowners and sorcerers and idolaters, these are people, they are in the present active tense. They are people who live in this way. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In other words, there will be no illegal people coming into heaven. There will be nobody who sneak in from the wall and jump on it. Isn't that fantastic? There will be absolutely no place for anybody who is not a believer to be in heaven. You cannot jump the fence and go into heaven unless you cross the bridge, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is just absolutely marvelous. Now, this is the new world order. Today, if you preach that, and many people will say, that's discrimination. But that's God. He made us, and he has the right to do what he wants to. All right? Thank you, Father, for the blessedness of having the opportunity to see where we are. In this world, Father, we have tribulation, as you said. First, our bodies decay. Secondly, our relationships sometimes decay. And thirdly, the future sometimes is not clear. But one day, we're going to be walking in that new world where things are perfect. Lord, tonight we want to thank you for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. In his name we thank you. Amen. Amen. David, you have a question. What does it mean? What? The fearful means, okay, you go to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. At the beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In other words, the respect from the Lord. The fearful, those who respect the Lord. Pardon me, the fearful means those who are afraid to make a commitment. All right? Are afraid to say, well, I'm going to take that stand for God. Some people die. You remember? And the 1,400, 1,500, 1,600 people die for taking a commitment to God. The so-called Christians kill them. But those who are afraid to say, I believe, then will be. Is that clear? All right, that's $20 charge for the question. Okay. God bless you.